whatever it may be, God is able to fix all situations. I need the home. I need thee every hour. Excited about God. Amen. Because God don't have to do what he does, but he does it anyhow. And because if you don't believe me, if you go to the nursing home right now, there's some people who don't have legs and don't have arms that would rather be in your place right now. They would rather be where you are right now, wanting to praise God. I have a word that I want to try to lift up just for a few minutes from Psalms 43 and verse 1. Psalms 43 and beginning at verse 1. Psalms 43 and beginning at verse 1. You'll find these Psalms 43, and beginning at verse 1, when you get it, say amen. If you don't have it, say, wait a minute, we'll wait on you. All right. Psalms 43 and verse 1. It reads like this: Judge me, O God. I plead my cause for my deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppressors of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth, and let them lead me. Let them bring me into thy holy hills, unto thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. You may be seated. I want to talk about deliver me. Deliver me. There's a question that man asks when trials and storms of life gathers. Often we will hear them ask, why do bad things happen to good people? Has that question ever plagued your mind? We all want to know why bad things in life happen to good people. We know, are even good people like ourselves. But I wanted to share with you today that none of us are immune from trouble. All of us will have our shares of trouble. The summit we have before us this evening, there is some debate as who penned this particular Psalms. Some suggest that it was David when he was fleeing from his son Absalom. Others have suggested that it was King Hezekiah when Jerusalem was under attack. But regardless whether or not these things are true, it would seem that the author of this summit is going through times of stress. He's under a personal attack. His life has brought him face to face with some circumstances that is out of control in his life. And all of us here today have been in that situation where life has seemed to bring us face to face with our circumstances. And regardless of the fact is that we all face time in our life when we are in break with pain and heartaches, and those times of life sometimes defines us between and the believers to confirm their faith and trust in God. Because most time when people are going through what they're going through, they forget about who God really is. Have you got a witness? And so when I read this particular Psalms, when I read it, it became quickly evidence that the summit is a broken man. And yet he cleaves to what he knows to cleave to. Yet he holds on to the only thing that he knows to hold on to, that is God and his faith. Have I got a witness here? And there ought to be a word to somebody here today that even when you're going through your toughest time in life, the only thing that you can really hold on to is God and your faith. Have I got a witness here? And as this man's life, he lift up his prayer to the Lord. He cries in despair by saying, "Oh, deliver me." And I wanted to look at this prayer because there are times in all of our life that we have to cry to God to deliver us from certain situations and certain things that we're dealing with in our life. When things are out of our control, it becomes just right for God. But the only thing is that we've got to learn how to pray to God, because what needly pains we often bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And we need this because there are times when we all cry out loud, "Oh, deliver me." And there's somebody here can be a witness today that David is not the only one that is going through trials, that is going through turmoil, that is going through some stressful times, and you need somebody, not your friends, not your loved one, not your homies, not your running and shopping partners or your domino and your dancing partners, but you need somebody stronger than them. And the psalmist says, "The only person that I really know that can deliver me out of what I'm going through is God himself." And so the psalmist says to me, he wanted me to offer us some reasons of encouragement in the midst of the trials and even the midst of the things that we're going through. The psalmist wanted to share with you, first of all, he says that the believers ought to know how to cry to God. Because you notice, if you notice what the psalmist says, he opens up by saying, "Judge me. Because if there's something wrong with me, God, before God can answer the prayer of the prayer, he has to make sure that the prayer is right." Have I got a witness here? And the psalmist says, I'm not acting like I have not done anything. I know I've done wrong. I know that I've slept with Bathsheba. I know that I took another man's wife. I know that I had another man murdered. But now, God, I'm at the point in my life that I need you to look at me. I need you to judge me, because I don't want to judge nobody else before you can judge me, because I've got to make sure that I've got my life right with you before I can talk about anybody else. Have I got a witness here? And so the psalmist declares, he says, "Oh God," he calls out to him from, and notice it's from the outside, from the outset of this summit, we are introduced to a man who's in touch with the Lord. And I think the first thing that we ought to understand that when we are trying to talk to God, we got to really know who God is. We've got to be one who stays in touch with God. We've got to know how to reach God when we're in trouble. We've got to do, I cannot forget one day, Deacon Tom Timmons, he stood up and he talked and said, most of us, rather than doing a lot of talking, we need to go down on knees. Neology, because most time, you see, the more you talk about me, the songwriter says, the more I'm going to bend my knee, because we can accomplish more on our knees talking to God in prayer. And the psalmist discovers that, Lord, I've got to stay in touch with you. I've got to talk to you, because if we don't talk to God, God cannot talk to us. Now listen, there was a reason, there was even reasons the psalmist had to rejoice in difficult times. And here it is. We feel like somebody have killed our dog or our cat because we're going through some trials and tribulation. But the psalmist says, because I have a relationship with God, because I know how to get in contact with God, that's more than enough to rejoice about. Because there are some people, you think you're sad, David, there are some people are in some sadder situation than some of our lives are. There are people who are eating out of the garbage cans when you are able to eat a poor course meal every day. There are some people that are sleeping on the bridges in boxcar boxes trying to keep warm. And here we are, we got warm houses, we got cover to cover us up with, we got car to ride in, and yet we are not even thankful to God for what God is doing. And so the psalmist
The psalmist says, I think I ought to get a little closer to them. He takes a closer look at this prayer, this man's voice. He cries to be free. The psalmist feels trapped by his circumstances. Have you ever just felt like trouble, situations, just people problems, job problems, community problems, church, seems like it has you trapped up, and when you go to the right, it's there. When you try to go left, it's there. When you try to go forward, it's right there. You just trapped. But can I tell you, that's the best position to be in when you know who God is. Because God knows how to bring you out of the traps that you're in. It tells me, the Bible tells me, gives me evidence when Israel were trapped by Pharaoh. Pharaoh was behind them, and mountains was on both sides, and the Red Sea was before them. And God said, all you got to do is stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And I'm trying to tell somebody here today that whenever you feel like you're trapped, all you got to do is stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Because the psalmist declares to be still and to know that I am God. And I'm sure sometime, but I'm thankful that God is a greater God. God is greater than any problem that we have. You see, the psalmist wanted to be delivered from being slandered by man. The evidence, the psalmist has been attacked by others. He feels that he has been done wrong. He has been hurt by words and actions of others. But notice what he says. He pleads for God to get involved to validate him from his enemies. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, people are not the only enemies that we have. And we've got to stop thinking that when you hear the word enemy, that we're talking about people. Because sometimes your addiction, your smoking, your drinking, your attitude, your dislikes can be your enemy. Sometimes your enemy could be your own self. And the psalmist says, I need to be delivered from my enemies. Because notice, all of the trouble that David got in, it was not his enemies that put him in it, it was himself. And so, we've got to stop talking about the enemy is putting me down. You put yourself down because you becomes your own enemy. When we don't obey the word of God, when we start dictating to what God's word says, trying to make it fit us, we become our own enemy. And when you say, that's why I believe, Deacon Alexander, that the psalmist says, judge me first. Because before I can discover who the real enemy is, I've got to search my heart. I've got to search my mind. I've got to search my speeches and my thought pattern. I've got to search the things that I do that is not contrary to God. Because if I'm doing anything that is contrary to God, I am my own enemy. And we have to be careful when we start asking God to deliver us from the enemy, because we might be asking him to deliver him from our own self. Now, notice, just so you know, everyone get done wrong from time to time. But when that happens, we are to leave all judgments in the matters up to the Lord. Because Romans 12 and 19 says, the Lord says, decisions is mine. Whatever it may be, and I've got to bring it closer to us, because I don't want you to think that the enemy is somebody else, because sometimes God has to take vengeance on you. Sometimes he has to take vengeance on our life because of the thing that we're doing that he's telling us not to do, because anything, all sin, all unrighteousness and sin, and sometimes God has to take vengeance against us. Now, in other matters, we are to love and forgive one another when we are to do, because notice, God does not tell us to fight the enemy. He does not tell us to attack the enemy. But he simply says to forgive. He simply says to pray for them. He simply says to love them. And sometimes, I don't know why the Lord wants me to say it like this. The person that really needs forgiving is our own self. The person that we really need to love is our own self. The person that we really need to try to compromise and to try to get matters right with one is that one that Paul says on the inside of me, I'm struggling, I've got an enemy that I'm fighting on the inside. When I would do good, I find myself doing things that I ought not to be doing. And so the psalmist here looks at the fact that, oh God, you've got to judge me first, because he says, plead my case from deceitful and unjust man. And sometimes we are deceitful and unjust ourselves. And the psalmist is, I've got to tell you, I don't know why he wants me to go that way, because we become deceitful and unjust. And God has to deal with us. And then on the other hand, God will plead your case. Yes. If you are right. We have to understand. Then the summit from the silence of God, often in the trouble of life, it seems that God is totally unconcerned about our situation. We pray, nothing happens. We cry out to him, there is no answer to be heard. We suffer, but we still have the pain that remains there. The psalmist wanted the Lord to speak to him about his situation. But the Lord remained silent. And I will tell us today that sometimes God has to become silent in some situations. Sometimes God will not speak to you about your situation. Sometimes God has to allow the situation to do like we do soup. When we cook soup, we have to allow that soup to simmer sometimes in order to get all the flavor and the impurity to rise to the top of it. And sometimes God will not answer you. He will just allow you to go through what you're going through. Because he may not come when you want him to come, but can I tell you, he's always right on time. And don't give up. You remember the woman, the Canaanite woman in Matthew chapter 15, when she came to Jesus because of her daughter. The Lord never spoke a word. The Bible says he was silent. But he did tell her to go home at the end of it, because of her faith, her daughter was made whole. And so I'm trying to suggest to somebody here today that we need to remember that the Lord does not operate like us. His ways cannot be compatible. His ways are not like our ways. His time is not like our time. God works on a different schedule. You see, that's why Isaiah 55 and 8 through 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, The Lord says, for as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And so, and that's when it seemed, he does not care, even when it seems like God does not care about your situation, when it looks like God is not acting on your behalf. You have to know, even when the disciples was in a storm and they had to go, and they woke up Jesus and says, Master, do you care? Jesus got up and said, peace, be still. Sometimes, church, we've got to learn how to wake up Jesus. And the reason God is not dealing with our situation is because we have not learned how to wake him up yet. The disciples had access, they had access to him. But never, they felt that he never cared about their situation in the storm. You remember they were in one situation. It was the darkest hour of their life. And here comes Jesus. Didn't come swimming. Didn't come skydiving. But he came walking. Looking at that situation and says, it is I. Be not afraid. And sometimes we allow the situation to frighten us, to scare us. But can I tell you, when God shows up, he will show out for you. Now, look at this. I'm just about done. The psalmist says, from his sorrow heart, the psalmist wanted to be delivered from a sorrow heart. His questions could be stated like this: why am I letting the actions of a few godly people control my life? That is a good question. When we reach the place where trouble and negative situations in life controls our joy, steals our joy, steals our peace, we need to ask ourselves the same question. Because this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Now notice, Jesus promised his peace and his joy to those of us. It is true that it is when we allow our trials of life to take the wind out of our spiritual sailing. We have no one to blame but ourselves. It ain't your enemy that's stopping you from praising God. It ain't your enemy that's causing you to give God the praise. You're still in your own joy. Because when you come here and let a situation control you of praising and lifting up God, you are still in your own joy. Ain't nobody stole your joy but you. And whenever you allow yourself to take something from you that God has given you, you are just as guilty as anybody else. Philippians 4:7 says, church, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. It's not what you're going through, but it's the peace of God that will keep you in perfect peace. Isaiah says it like this: thou will keep you in perfect peace. Those who keep their mind stand on Jesus. If we keep our mind and don't allow circumstances, trouble, sickness, death, financial problems, job problems, church problems, community problems, whatever bad news the doctor gives us, stop us from keeping our mind staying on Jesus, you're going to rob yourself of your own joy. Because God will keep you in perfect peace if you just keep your mind. Look at what John chapter 14 and verse 27 says: peace I leave with you, peace I give unto you. Not as the world give it, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither be afraid. Notice this man where his strength lies. Verse 2 says he calls upon God because his circumstances is beyond his control. There are situations that he cannot fix himself. He calls on someone that he knows can fix it. Look at here. When Peter was in jail, the church went down in prayer. They didn't have money to bail him out. They didn't have no lawyer to get him out. But they went to somebody who could bring him out. Y'all talk to me here. I mean, and that's the good thing about it, is that we've got to know who to go through and who can bring us out of what we're going through. And the son knew that he could not fix this thing on his own. He said, for thou art my strength. And can I tell somebody here today, you got to know where your strength lies. Because if you don't know where your strength comes from, you're in a dangerous situation. Then the summit in verse 3, the summit knows that the path is out of his control. He's going in another direction, and he asks God to guide him and to lead him out of where he's at right now. Because look at what the psalmist says. He says, oh, send out thy light and thy truth, and let them and lead me. Let them bring me into thy holy hill of thy tabernacle. In other words, the psalmist says, I'm somewhere I don't want to be. Something has led me to where I'm at now, and now what I need, God, I need your light, I need your truth to guide me and to lead me out of the place that I am. Because sometimes circumstances, problems can take us to a dark place. Y'all don't hear me this morning. The psalmist desires, his desire was to be led by the truth and the light that reference to God, because the psalmist wanted to hear the voice of God. And whatever you are going through, what you're going through, you don't want to hear the voice of nobody else. You want to hear God speaks to you. And sometimes when we are trying to block people out, it may be that we are blocking God out from speaking to us. Tell them what to do. Notice when you need direction and leadership in your life, look no further than the Bible. Because the Bible holds every answer to every solution, to every problem, to every trial, to every riddle that you will ever face. The Bible will make you understand it a whole lot clearly. And that's why the psalmist says in Psalms 119 and 105 verse, he says, thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto my path. The psalmist, he desired God's word. He vowed to follow God's plan and to plead God for his victory, because he knows that he has gone too far out of God's will. And whenever we have strayed away, the only thing that can bring us back to God is the truth and the light of God's word. Amen. And in the closing, the psalmist wanted God. He desires to worship God. The psalmist longs to be in a place where he can worship the Lord. He wanted to be in a place of blessedness. It is not, and notice, church, it's not hard to worship when trouble is in your heart. People act like it's real hard to worship when trouble is in your heart. But if you really want a breakthrough, that's when you really got to worship God. That's when you really got to show God how much you really love him, how much worship. Because if trouble can stop you from worshiping God, that means you ain't had nothing in the first place. Because nothing should be able to stop you from worshiping God. It's hard to express joy of the Lord when you are crushed on the burdens of life. But maybe God have put you
That's right.
Under the burdens of life in order to get some worship out of you. You remember when he says to Mary and Martha, he says, Lazarus, this sickness is not unto death. But he says to get some glory out of you. God has had to do some things in order to get some glory out of us. And sometimes God puts us in the place where we're caught between a rock and a hard place in order to get some glory out of us. And then finally, the summit says, then will I go unto the altar of God. He says, I've been away now. I ain't been going to the altar like an altar. And some of us, the reason God cannot help you is because you have not been to the altar. The altar is the place where you talk to God and where God talk to you. The Bible even tells us that we've got to bring it all before the altar. Whenever Moses and Abraham went somewhere, they built a tent, but they also had an altar. They built an altar for the Lord. And whenever we build altars, and listen, you got to build an altar in your house. You got to build an altar on your job. You got to take your secret place and put it where God can speak to you. And I'm saying, church, we've got to get back to the altar. And the reason we don't, and sometimes I wonder when we ask for altar call, for people to come to the altar, a lot of people don't come to the altar. But I think if you want God to help our church and bless the situation or whatever it is, you got to bring it all to the altar. Put it all on the altar. And the psalmist says, look what he said. Unto God, my exceeding joy, yea, upon the harp will I praise thee. Oh God, my God. Now everybody can't say that, y'all.
Well.
Everybody can't say, oh God, my God. The summit right here, this is a distress cry. But he says in that, oh my God, it's almost like, oh God. He's crying. He's saying, oh God, this is, oh God. You know how you start pulling your hair out, biting your fingernail, taking pills on top of pills, burning midnight oil, want to jump off a building. Oh God. He says, oh, God, my God. Everybody can't say my God because you don't have a relationship with God. In order to say my God, you've got to be able to have a relationship with God. And that's all I want to tell you today. If you want God to deliver you, you've got to talk to him like the summit talked to him, and God will deliver you out of whatever you're going through. The doors is open. If you're here today, you have an opportunity to give your life to the Lord. And right now, while the blood is running warm in your veins, you can give your life to the Master. Pass me not, O gentle.